Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this one's for all you mystery fans out there, because in the next hour, we'll hear about the mysterious disappearance of several recent hip-hop-inspired paintings. Actually, that's a mystery that's been partially solved, thanks to a fearless gallery curator whom you'll meet later. We've also got the strange tale of an online musical map of the United States that does not show what all you Facebook users seem to think it shows. We'll get to the bottom of that mystery when the map maker himself joins us. And then there's the curious magic that we associate with certain places in the American South. You know what I mean?
I went to the crossroads. Fell down on my knees. I went to the crossroads.
And me, I spent a lot of time picking flowers up on Choctaw Ridge. And dropped them into the muddy water off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
I'm going back to Barton Hollow. They're gonna follow me, here I go. Won't do me no good washing in the river. Can't no preacher man save my soul.
Well, Abe said, "Where you want this killing done?" God said, "On Highway 61."
Well, Roseanne Cash has gone down some of those mythic southern roads recently as part of the project to restore her father, Johnny Cash's, childhood home. Roseanne and her husband and songwriting partner, John Leventhal, turned those trips into songs on a great new album called The River and the Thread. Both Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal are here in the Soundcheck studio with guitars in hand to play some of those songs for us today, beginning with this one called Modern Blue.
Went to Barcelona on the midnight train. Walked the streets of Paris in the pouring rain. Flew across an island in the northern sea. And I ended up in Memphis, Tennessee. I keep my head down. It's a big wide world with a million shades of modern blue. Everything I had is twice what I knew. But I don't have nothing if I don't have you. I keep my head down, I keep my eyes on you. It's a big wide world with a million shades of modern blue. Still be there when I round the curve. Will you hold my hand when I lose my nerve? Oh, I went to Barcelona and my mind got changed. So I'm heading back to Memphis on the midnight train. I keep my head down. It's a big wide It's a big wide world with a million shades of modern blue.
Roseanne Cash singing and playing the guitar. John Leventhal doing some backing vocals and playing the guitar live on soundcheck. And the song is Modern Blue. It's on Roseanne Cash's latest album, The River and the Thread, which is out now. Roseanne, John, good to have you both back.
Hey,
good
John.
To be here, John.
Good to have you here. The weather is only slightly better than it was last time you were on the show, Roseanne, which, as you may recall, was in the wake of Superstorm Sandy.
It was dark down here.
Yes, it was. No electricity. Of course, you don't need much electricity for the way you're playing the songs here in the studio today.
Yeah, we do this duo show, the George and Gracie show.
Stephen Eady of folk rock.
Stephen Eady. Well, Stephen Eady dates you. Well, George and Gracie does, too.
George and Gracie dates you even further.
Does it?
I think George and Gracie make you dead, actually. Which we're not, folks.
No, we do this duo show a lot. In fact, we just did it night before last in Seattle. And it's a lot of fun. We, you know, it's intimate and yet energized.
Well, now that song, Modern Blue, you're name-checking Barcelona a couple of times and Paris and then always coming back
to Memphis.
To Memphis, Tennessee. Is this song and is this album, is it about travel and being home and what that means?
In a literal sense and in a metaphorical sense, you know, that Memphis being the placeholder for home, whatever that means in a large sense. And there's a lot of geography in this record. Memphis shows up a lot, but, you know, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, the Delta mostly.
So you guys went down to Dyess, where your dad's childhood home was, to kind of, what, renovate, restore the home?
Yeah, Arkansas State University had bought his childhood home and asked me and the family if we would be involved in restoring it and creating a music heritage site there. And I was interested in that. I'm not interested in doing many of these Johnny Cash projects, but this was really got me, my heart, you know. I thought about my kids, really, that they should know where their grandpa came from. But it wasn't just the Dyess trip, you know. We were going to Alabama, visit our friend Natalie Channon in Florence, and we were driving down Highway 61, as you mentioned. So there was a lot of Southern influence in a two-year period.
Yeah. Now, what is Highway 61? I mean, does Highway 61 look historic? Does it look mythic? Does it look iconic, or is it just another road?
It does if you want it to. Yeah. I mean, I think if you're drawn to the music that came from, let's say, whatever, a 100-mile radius from Memphis, that you'd be moved by going down Highway 61.
Yeah, true.
Because I don't think that you couldn't be moved.
Okay. Because, you know, the crossroads, the famous crossroads where Robert Johnson allegedly sold his soul to the devil.
Well, it's not only that.
It's just a nasty little piece of land.
Yeah.
Route 66 is just another road. So it's nice to hear this.
Yeah, no, there's still some mystery and magic there. There was for me. I can't explain it any better than that. I mean, there really is something. And there's an inordinate amount of incredibly transcendent, timeless music that's come from that area. I mean, it's pretty special.
I mean, how do you explain that? That there are these little pockets of geography, not just in America, but anywhere, you know, whether you're talking about Vienna in 1820 or Mississippi in 1920. It's just so weird that these pockets of creativity just bubble up.
Part of it is that you can't explain it. Right. I mean, there's so much mystery in that, you know, you start thinking about what came just from the Delta. And not just the music, but the civil rights movement and Faulkner, you know.
right. The whole Southern Gothic literature style. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's my New Yorker outsider like perspective, but it feels there's a kind of loneliness. I don't want to overdo that, but there's a kind of loneliness that pervades a lot of the Delta. So you can see how music became a crucial element to sort of letting people get through and get by pre-TV, pre-all that stuff. You know?
Now, Roseanne, you're a longtime New Yorker, but not a native New Yorker.
Right.
When all this traveling in the South, did you feel
the pull of it? I did, in a way that I was really not expecting. I was born in Memphis, but we only lived there 3 years. And I spent almost a decade in Nashville, you know, many years ago. And I just thought the South was behind me. It was a footnote in my DNA. Mm-hmm. And then going back and reconnecting with where the Cash family settled in Arkansas, making these new friends, connecting with some extended family in Memphis, going to Robert Johnson's grave. You know, all of these things were, they were heart-opening and mind-opening. Mm. And I found that I was far more connected to these places than I had realized.
But then you came home to New York and...
I am a New Yorker, and I think that this record required distance and perspective to write.
So this, you couldn't have written this record if you were in Memphis.
I don't think so, No.
The record's called The River and the Thread. Why?
Well, both literal and metaphorical. You know, the river is the Mississippi that runs through this whole area I'm talking about. And it's also the river of your own ancestry, past and future. Mm-hmm. And the thread, again, kind of the same thing, except the thread was I took sewing lessons from my friend in Florence, Natalie Channon, and she said this amazing thing. She was threading my needle, and she said, you know, you have to learn to love the thread. And it just chilled me. You know, she wasn't speaking metaphorically, but it just chilled me.
Wow.
So there you go. The thread is in the record.
And there's a lot of rivers down there. I actually never thought literally that we were meant the Mississippi, although obviously it's there. But, I mean, there's the Tallahatchie River, which is huge. The Tennessee River and Muscle Shoals is huge. And Yazoo River, all these rivers
right.
in the Delta. Like,
with names that kind of echo through Americana culture.
That's right.
And, did you go to the Tallahatchie Bridge?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That was a huge day for us, yeah.
The ode to Billy Joe, the Bobby Gentry
the
hit.
The same. Well, we should probably tell John about that day.
It was amazing. We went down from Greenwood, Mississippi, out Money Road, which we have a song on the album mm-hmm. called Money Road, to Robert Johnson's grave, onto Money, Mississippi, where Emmett Till was killed and
birthplace of the civil rights movement.
That's right. And then right around the corner was the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Less than 100 yards from where...
Could have walked there.
The grocery store where Emmett Till unfortunately theoretically flirted with a white woman is the Tallahatchie Bridge. And
we sat there for a long
You don't realize how close together all this stuff is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that like Highway 61? Is there a little sparkle?
It was for me. I mean, we were there on a kind of sunny December day last year, and we were the only people on the bridge, and we just stayed on it for half an hour, 40 minutes, and it felt pretty electric to me. In fact, the album cover is a picture I took of Roseanne that day on the bridge.
That's on the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Yeah. John took this photo of me from behind, and as soon as he took it, he said, that's the album cover. And then, we had to convince the record label to put an iPhone photo on the cover. So we just poured color on it, treated it like crazy.
All right. We're speaking with Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal. Roseanne's new album is called The River and the Thread. It's out now. And they're playing at Town Hall on Tuesday night, March 18th. And playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today, you want to do Long Way Home next?
Sure. This is kind of a centerpiece of the record, if I do say so myself.
Did you say centerpiece or centerpiece?
Ooh, I like centerpiece. Let's go with that.
Yeah, my ears pricked up a little bit when I misheard that.
I think we just wrote a song with John.
All right, it's a Long Way Home live performance from Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal live on Soundcheck.
Dark highways and the country roads don't scare you like they and winds now welcome you to the places you once hid. You grew up and you moved away across a foreign sea. What was left was what was kept, was what you gave. And gone.
take the long way home. The southern rain was heavy, almost heavy as your heart. A cavalcade of strange came to tear your world apart. The bells of old St. Mary's are now the clanging of Charcoal Hill. And you took the old religion from the woman on the hill. You'd left it all behind. You thought you'd up and gone, but all you did was figure out how to take the long way home. You thought you'd left it all behind. You thought you'd up and take the long way home. Long way home.
Roseanne Cash singing Long Way Home. John Leventhal on guitar. From the album The River and the Thread, that's a live version of the song from Roseanne and John here in the Soundcheck studio. Roseanne Cash performing on Tuesday night, March 18th at Town Hall here in New York in support of the album The River and the Thread, which is out now. Let's hear another song. This one's called Tell Heaven. Roseanne Cash, John Leventhal, live on Soundcheck.
If you're like a broken bird, tell heaven. Battered wings against a darkened day. When your worries won't let you sleep, tell heaven. When the tears won't ever go. If you got no one to love, tell heaven. There's no one on the telephone today. When every story falls apart, tell heaven. Nothing good seems like it'll come. Tell heaven, heavy hearts and empty rooms, tell heaven. You don't have to know what you will say. The empty sky may never take our burdens. something good will someday come our way. So tell heaven,
Roseanne Cash singing Tell Heaven, John Leventhal playing guitar. He's okay at that, isn't he?
He's pretty good. He's still so learning. Annoying.
Really? how does it feel to be the second best guitarist in the family?
I'm actually not even that anymore. Our son just started playing. I'm like the third best.
Starting to get nervous.
Now, a lot of the songwriting on this album, you know, you were both talking about the history and the mystery of some of these places in the South that you went to. There's this great ballad tradition that we have in America. Maybe we get it, at least in part, from the British Isles. And it seems like some of that is kind of woven into the fabric of this record.
Yeah, that just interests me so much. In fact, I just wrote a piece for the New York Times, the songwriting blog Measure for Measure, called Time Travel and the Ballad Tradition, because that tradition is something I feel really passionate about. Appalachian back to Celtic and Elizabethan, you know, those story songs that have been passed down to us. And I could never crack the code of writing that kind of song until we wrote one for this record. John and I wrote it with my ex-husband, Rodney Crowell. Rodney and I wrote the lyrics and John wrote the music for a Civil War ballad about my own ancestors called When the Master Calls the Roll.
So your husband and your ex-husband and a Civil War family divided against itself kind of thing.
We like to live what we write, John. You know,
no, it's really about union, so all right. I don't know where you're going to go with
no,
that.
No, I'm not going anywhere with that. That is a great song, though, and it is, you know, that's what I was thinking of when I brought up the whole ballad tradition. The album's called The River and the Thread, from Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal and the band, we mentioned this song, When the Master Calls the Roll. Just call the roll of the backup singers.
We couldn't find anybody good. So
we got Tony Joe White, Chris Christopherson, John Prine, Rodney Crowell, and Amy Helm.
Oh, what a bunch of hacks.
Yeah, right.
Gabe Witcher from the Punch
Brothers.
Oh,
yeah, Gabe Witcher, jeez.
Yeah. It's an incredible tune. It's an incredible collection of talent helping out Roseanne Cash, who's been here with us on Soundcheck, along with John Leventhal. Great to see the two of you again. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, John.
Always good to see you, John.
Always happy to be here.
And so the open letter read, the newsboy did deliver. 3 months later, plans were made to wed down by the King James River. Lo, the season may come. Lo, the season may go. What love is joined together will forever be made whole. When the master calls the roll.
Season may go, be ready.
sister calls love.
That's When the Master Calls the Roll, a song from the new album by Roseanne Cash. The record's called The River and the Thread. By the way, if you like our live sessions, make sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. We'll alert you when great artists like Roseanne Cash are performing live in our studio every day at 2 p.m. Coming up next, if you've used Facebook recently, you may have come across a map of the United States with a state-by-state breakdown of popular artists. The map went viral, but many viewers misunderstood what it was supposed to depict. We'll figure it out with the creator next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you've been on Facebook or BuzzFeed recently, you've probably spotted an article labeled something like, "This map shows every state's favorite band." The little blue map is popping up everywhere. It's even on our website, soundcheck.org, and it's interesting for two reasons. One, it's kind of surprising that in an era of global superstars and digital interconnectedness that there are still regional differences in music taste. And two, it's not really what the map's creator was trying to show. The map maker in question is Paul Lemire, and he's on the line with us to tell us what his map really means. Paul, welcome to Soundcheck.
Well, thanks for having me.
So your map is labeled on the internet as every state's favorite artist. What is it really?
Well, what I really wanted to show was the most distinctive artists by for each state. So by distinctive, I mean these are the artists that are more likely to be listened to in this state compared to all of the other states.
So if you looked at the top 10 of every state, and New York State had one name that wasn't on everybody else's list, that is the name you would pull out for this map.
Exactly. I like to look at it as like the maple syrup of Vermont.
So it's the wild card in each state's deck.
That's right.
And for New York State, who was the artist that appeared more often than you would find in the other 49 states?
Yeah, the most distinctive artist for New York was James Blake.
So, New York State showing a regional preference for this artist. That is James Blake and his song Wilhelm Scream. And according to Paul Lemire, writer of the Music Machinery blog and creator of this series of maps showing differences in music taste across the country, New York State listeners have a much higher preference for James Blake than listeners in other states. Now, Paul, how geographically specific can you get? Because it occurs to me that James Blake might have a lot of people listening in New York City, but maybe not so much in, you know, upstate New York, for example.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we have data down to the zip code level, so we can get pretty precise. But the more local you get, the less data we have, so the data gets a little bit noisy.
I see. So were you surprised when you put this map together with each state's kind of a regional preference, and were you surprised when people took this to mean that this is every state's favorite artist?
Well, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that people on the internet get confused, but yeah, it sort of took off. It ended up, and I think because people were not seeing what they were expecting to see was one of the reasons why it got shared so widely, because people are very, very passionate about music, and when they see something that doesn't seem to agree with what they think, it makes them sometimes very angry.
Mm-hmm. So did you get a lot of angry, you know, emails and tweets and stuff?
Yes, yeah. Probably one of the biggest questions in my feed was, who the heck is Bonobo? the top artist, the most distinctive artist from California.
So again, that simply means that Californians, probably in L.A. and San Francisco, are listening more to Bonobo's music than people in other states. Bonobo is the weird band that fits in their top 10 or top 20.
That's right. That's the Boston clam chowder of California music.
So in California and in New York, who would actually be the most, you know, listen to the favorite artists?
Sure. So since so many people got confused by my first map, I made another one just to confuse them more, which was was showing the real most played artists in each state. And so New York's state, the top, no surprise, is Jay-Z. In California, the top artist, no surprise, Daft Punk.
And in fact, if you look at that map, there's an awful lot of stuff. I mean, Jay-Z, like, rules almost the eastern half of the United States. You got Macklemore and Daft Punk and Drake, all of them. Between them, they seem to have covered most of the 50 states. But there is one little state, all by its lonesome, up in the Northeast. Tell me about Vermont.
Yeah, Vermont, they went for Alt-J, of all hands.
Alt-J. So this is not like this is the unusual, you know, this is the unusual card in the Vermont deck. This is the number one artist in Vermont?
Apparently, yes. Again, when you start to get to smaller populations, a smaller number of people can affect the charts. So indeed, Alt-J is the top.
All right. A little bit of music for those of you listening in Vermont.
Matador. But something goes, oh, something goes, oh, something good, oh, something good tonight, make me forget about you for now.
The band Alt-J, very popular in Vermont, a song called Something Good. We're speaking with Paul Lemire, creator of the Music Machinery blog, a blog about music and technology. Paul has created a series of maps showing some very interesting differences in music taste around the U.S., and this Alt-J is this little island in a map that basically is full of Jay-Z's, Macklemore's, Drake's, Daft Punk, and Eminem, right? They basically split the rest of the 50 states among them.
Yep.
So,
right.
But you made this map, as you told us a moment ago, in response to people misunderstanding the first map, the one about the unusual band that sort of defines each state. And, of course, you know, New Jersey went for Bruce Springsteen, Vermont for Phish, the local jam band. What was it that drove you to make that first map in the first place?
So I work for a company called the Echo Nest, and we power a lot of the listening for many of these online music services. And so we're always trying to understand music listeners better. And one of the things that we can do is look at user demographics, how old they are, what their gender is, or where they're from, and use that type of information to help improve their listening experience. So understanding where somebody lives gives us a good idea of some of the music they might like, or even some of the music that they won't like.
So Echo Nest clients, that would include Spotify and RDO and MTV and iHeartRadio and all the rest.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you don't know anything about your listener except their zip code, the state that they live in, you can glean something from that.
Yeah, and even if we don't know their zip code, we can still use this information. Because there's some artists that are I guess you'd call them polarizing artists. Mm-hmm. They're very, very regional. And even though they may make it to the top of the charts, it may be because of strong pull from one region or another. So you can, by avoiding these regionally polarizing artists, you can get a good listening experience even for someone when you don't know where they live.
So once again, Paul Lemire's maps you can find on our website, soundcheck.org. Now, you actually built an app, right, that people can use to compare the different regions?
Yep, that's right.
And that also is linked on our website at soundcheck.org. So if you can use these maps, even when you have no information, it seems like that's a kind of negative use. It's like what to avoid. So is there a map for who to avoid from state to state?
Yes. So I made a map, which is, I call it the most ignored artist. So it sort of turns everything on its head and say, these are the artists that, when compared to the whole United States, are played the least in a particular region.
So if Luke Bryant, for example, is the number 10 or number 8 in all the surrounding states, but he's number 45 in your state, he would make the map.
That's correct.
And what would New York State's artist to avoid be?
Luke Bryan.
Let's avoid some right now.
We got beer in a tub and some good-looking girls dressed to the nines, looking for a good time. Jacked-up trucks stacked in thick, white rocks stuck in the mud grip. And a big old bouncer at the door, but don't show him your eyes. Dare step out on the floor. If you ain't here to party, you picked the wrong place. You picked the wrong Friday night. You ain't here to party, you'll be missing out on the best damn time of your life. So go on and throw your...
All right, a little bit of music from Luke Bryan, just a little bit, because here in New York State, apparently, we don't like to listen all that much. Although this does, Paul Lemire, go back to the question I asked you before, which is, I'm sure there are swaths of upstate New York where listening is very different from New York City. And I'm thinking especially of a state like Texas, where someplace like Austin is going to be a little island of something in a larger sea of something else. How do you deal with that?
You know, that's exactly right. So, of course, when you try to put one artist for each state, you're making a rather gross generalization that won't apply when you get right down to specific people. That's why I built the app that go along with the map, so you can dive in deeper. But yeah, especially if you get to a place like Texas, where you have a real eclectic mix of, you know, Southern rappers, ranchero music, country western, and even worship music. And then you get to a place like Austin, which is just filled with indie music. Yeah, trying to put a single artist on the map is a hard thing to do.
Yeah. So the more information you get, once you get things beyond zip code, you get into age and gender, can you make even more specific maps?
Yeah, so that gets to be one of the challenges here. As soon as you start dicing up the data more and more across these different axes, the data starts to get sparse. So there just aren't so many people to fill in the categories. But as we get more and more data, the results get richer and richer. And soon, yeah, we'll be able to really understand very, very specific tastes. So that young 20-year-old male who lives in South Texas will have a pretty good idea of what they're likely to listen to.
So the idea behind all of this work, all of these maps, is to tailor each individual listener's experience listening to Spotify or MTV or Vivo to make it, you know, as close to their musical taste as possible. Is that right?
That's right. We're trying to find out everything that we can about the listener. But the data, it's kind of like trying to understand what you would feed a large group of people. You may decide that the best meal to feed everybody, if you don't know their tastes at all, is to give them hamburgers and pizza because that's the most popular food. But as soon as you start to know a little bit about the people's specific tastes, you know, where they're from, how old they are, and also what kind of music they actually like to listen to, we can do a lot better job of understanding them and giving them a good listening experience.
But, to take your analogy, there's nothing wrong with burgers and pizza, but if you're a vegetarian and you have celiac disease and are gluten-free, you're not going to want either of those. You're left with a big pile of boiled white rice, which, you know, nothing wrong with that, but not my idea of a great meal.
Yeah, that as soon as you start to eliminate artists that might be polarizing, you do start to end up with a much blander meal. But as soon as we start to learn a little bit about somebody, what they really like, and we can get that information pretty quickly by when somebody starts to play a song or skip a song or browse around, we get a better understanding of what they like, and then we can really help them find more music like that.
And looking at your map of what are, in fact, the favorite artists of the various states, it seems like people like Jay-Z are a pretty safe bet. So that's where we're going to leave it. Paul Lemire is the creator of the Music Machinery blog about music and technology, created this fascinating series of maps showing these differences in musical taste across the country. Find the maps and his app on our website at soundcheck.org. Paul, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
This is Soundcheck.
Well, in these times, well, at least to me, there's a lot of rappers out there trying to sound like Jay-Z. I help you out, here's what you do. You're gonna need a wide lens, cause that's a very big shoe. And you got a couple of beans and you don't have a clue. Your situation is bleak. I'ma keep it real, cause with me, you gotta drop a mill. Cause if you're gonna cop something, you gotta cop for real. Don't only talk it, walk like it. From the bricks to the booth, I can predict the future like Cleo the psychic. You can't date skills and wife it. And you can't sell me bull, we know the prices. So what your life is, we gon' roll till the wheels fall off. Your mom, check the tires, off we go. Let the trumpets blow and hold on, because the driver of that Bentley is a pro. The ruler's back.
Up next, we'll talk with the visual artist Amar Stewart, who has been depicting hip-hop stars in oil paintings with a 17th century style. That's next on Soundcheck.
The Queen of New York, now let's get this straight. I'm about to be elected mayor, 718.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The idea of rap stars as royalty is hardly new. Hip-hop artists from Rick Ross to Lil' Kim to Run-DMC have rapped for years about their transformation into self-made kings and queens. But in a series of paintings, the British artist Amar Stewart takes that idea of rap royalty and places it in a literal context, portraying artists like Jay-Z or Questlove or Mary J. Blige as royals, 17th century royals. Amar Stewart joins me here in the Soundcheck studio. Amar, welcome.
Hi, nice to meet you. Thanks for having us on air.
So looking at these works, they clearly are inspired not just by modern hip-hop royalty, but by a certain kind of centuries-old casting of royalty as well.
Yeah, that's right. I was inspired by the Dutch painter Frans Hals from the 17th century. I discovered his work about a year and a half ago whilst visiting New York. I went to the Met, and I was introduced to his work and just blown away by it.
Frans Hals, he's the guy who did The Laughing Cavalier.
That's right, yes.
One of his most famous paintings.
Yeah.
But there's another influence, and folks can see your paintings on our website, soundcheck.org. The contemporary English artist Francis Bacon.
Yes. Know, yeah.
Some of his most famous paintings, like Three Screaming Popes, where the bottom of the faces are all drippy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, like Francis Bacon is also like another inspiration, as there are many artists. But the, you know, the reason for the dripping and everything else is because I'm from a street art background. And whilst using aerosols, you would often get the sort of drips, you know. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to try and sort of bring that story into this, you know, into this mix of 17th century sort of style art, but with like a modern twist to it.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that's why you'll sort of see that in there. And also the movement, you know, I feel like the movement within the paintings are quite important because that kind of reflects the artist that I'm painting also. You know, I feel that they've pushed the boundaries within their sort of, within their craft.
Right. Street art, graffiti, I mean, that was one of the four, is, remains one of the four pillars of hip-hop culture.
Yeah.
So, but you've moved on to oils for these, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, like I said, I think you know, when I did sort of visit the Met, you know, like New York, everything about New York is, you know, is so hip-hop. And, you know, me being from the UK, you know, it's had such an impact on me.
You found the Met Museum to be so hip-hop?
No, not the Met. Well, it can be, yeah. I mean, I obviously, you know, felt it had a lot of influence behind this body of work. But hip-hop has had such an impact on my life all the way over in the UK that, you know, I wanted to sort of pay tribute to that.
Now, you actually started this project while you were still living in the UK, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I produced Biggie and Tupac whilst in London. They were actually the last two paintings I created in London.
And when you did that, the portrait of Tupac...
Yeah, which is actually my first portrait I did for the series, yeah.
What song were you listening to?
Probably, I think I'm trying to remember because it was a few months back. I mean, like All Eyes on Me sticks out, you know, the most for me.
And inspired the painting, which you can see from Amar Stewart on our website at soundcheck.org.
You know what? I bet you got it twisted. You don't know who to trust. So many player hate you getting trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell is where them cowards going. Well, all you steal down, I can holler when you see me. And let these devils suck for the day they finally freed me. I got a caravan and sick it every time we ride. Hitting muffles up when we pass by. Until I die, live the life of a boss player. Cause even when I'm hot, I'm gonna be in cross later. The future's in my eyes. Cause all I want is cash and things. A 500 Benz for my flashy brains. Pursue me like a dream. Been known to disappear before your eyes. It's like a dope thing. It seems.
We're speaking with Amar Stewart, the British artist who recently wrapped up his New York City residency at Cotton Candy Machine, a gallery in Brooklyn. Also with me in the soundcheck studio is Sean Leonard, the co-owner of that gallery. When Amar did his first two portraits of Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac, that was it. He had two portraits.
Right. And a concept and an idea.
Whose idea was it for Amar to come to Cotton Candy Machine and just, like, paint 8 hours a day and just churn these things out?
Well, it started, Amar made an announcement about the idea and what he was working on, and there was a proof of concept, this Tupac and this Biggie. And he actually hit me up first just asking for if I knew any local studio space for rent. And then I had an epiphany, and it was something I wanted to do before, but it was our first time doing it. And so I offered Amar the opportunity to do an open studio artist residency with us and paint all month long.
So how many paintings did you end up doing here in New York?
In New York, I ended up doing, it was 13 paintings.
And all of New York-based artists.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of special appearances, I guess you could pop in there, you know, like, you know, got Left Eye.
From TLC,
that's correct. And, you know, like Rick Ross is in there, and Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I wanted
but
to...
Questlove, the ubiquitous Questlove. Yep. And let's talk about your Jay-Z portrait, because, you know, there are many who would consider Jay-Z to be the king of hip-hop, but he's not wearing a crown in your portrait, is he?
No, he's not. I mean, and a few people would ask, you know, like, you know, firstly, why he didn't have the biggest piece, or, you know, why he wasn't wearing a crown and rocking a feather in his
right,
hat.
Right, he's got a hat with a feather.
Yeah, and you know, the reason...
And he's the one with the skull?
That's why,
the last poor Yorick style?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. And I think it's because, for me anyway, that one stands out almost the most, just because it's not the biggest, you know. And I feel that Jay-Z has got a style, and he sort of sets himself apart from everyone else, and, you know, he's a leader in his own right, whether it be fashion, you know, the style of his music, the beats that he, you know, that he has. Yeah, so I mean, actually, that's probably one of my favorite pieces of the collection.
Check. Yo, I'm making short-term goals. When the weather falls, just put away the leathers and put ice on the gold. Chili with enough bail money to free a big willy. High stakes, I got more at stake than Philly. Shopping sprees, copping threes. Deuce Beaver, IS's, fully loaded. Yes, bouncing in the Lex Luger. Tire smoke like Buddha. 50 G's to the crap shooter. Players can't fade me. Chrome stocks beaming. Through my perithia, I see you scheming. Stop dreaming, I leave your body steaming. Brothers is fiending, what's the meaning? I'm leaning on any player intervening with the sound of my money machine. My cup running, over with hunters. I'm one of the best players that done it. Six digits to run it, y'all brothers don't want it. I got the Godfather flow, the Don Juan DeMarco. Swear to God, don't get it twisted.
Can't knock the hustle, Jay-Z, part of the inspiration for Amar Stewart's portrait of Jay-Z in his recently completed series of hip-hop royalty, based on the paintings of the 17th century Dutchman Frans Hals, who was from Harlem, the Dutch city of Harlem. Amar is here with me in the Soundcheck studio, so is Sean Leonard, the co-owner of Cotton Candy Machine, the gallery in Brooklyn where Amar was in residency painting these pictures. Are you guys familiar with the work of Kehinde Wiley?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Some years ago, we had a big show at the Brooklyn Museum of his kind of medieval portraits, not with recognizable rappers, but just like people that he got off the streets, you know, guys in Houston Astros gear and L.A. Yeah. Lakers hats and stuff. Was that something, Amar, that you knew on your side of the Atlantic before coming here?
Yeah, I knew he did, because he had a show in London, actually, at the end of last year, and he had some pretty, you know, pretty epic pieces. But, you know, like, I had a story and I had a vision. You know, like, I feel that my work is a little different to his.
Well, as I say, you know, yours is, like, recognizable, immediately, you know, iconic faces, whereas his is sort of, like, just kind of, this is the culture.
Yeah.
This is what our people out on the streets would look like, you know, mounted on a stallion in a 17th century painting or a 16th century
painting.
Definitely. Yeah. What is it about these rappers that inspired you to kind of put them in this setting?
Well, all of the icons that I chose, I mean, if I had more time, I would have painted hundreds of them, you know, but I was limited on that. So I looked at the icons that since I was a kid I've been listening to, you know. Music is like a major part of my life, and I feel that, you know, music sort of brings everybody together. So I wanted to come up with a concept that could also bring everybody together.
It sounds like a great story until we get to the end of the story, Sean. Tell us what happened at the conclusion of Amar's residency at the gallery.
Well, we had an event celebrating all the hard work that he'd put in. And during the opening, three paintings were stolen from our storage room.
Which three?
They were pieces not part of the hip-hop royalty series. They were pieces that he'd completed before, part of another body of work. There was a giant portrait of Jean-Michel Basquiat, a portrait of Nelson Mandela, which actually was part of one of his services as well in the UK, on stage, and then a portrait of Snoop Lion, to be politically correct.
Okay.
And
There will be a West Coast rapper series at some point then, Amar?
Yes, there will
be. With Snoop Lion being a part of that?
There will.
So all three of these were stolen.
Happened? From the back room. They left through our emergency exit. And because the pieces were so large, when I went in the back room, I noticed that they were missing. And I ran out to the street once, down the alley, to see if I could see them running either way. Now, they're not small. These are giant paintings. So I was confident if I was to see them even a block away, I would know that they had the pieces. So I ran down and blocks away from the gallery. I come across one of the guys, and he is holding the giant portrait of Jean-Michel Basquiat next to a fence. So I confronted him, and I called 911, and he started immediately threatening me and telling me he was going to kick my ass and break the painting. And I don't know why. It made me laugh. I knew he wasn't going to be able to get his hands on me, and there was no way I was taking his other option and going to leave him.
Right.
So he ran. So he starts running, and he jumps in a cab. And I run after him, and I open the cab door, and I start yelling at the police officer while I'm on the phone with 911. And so after just a few moments of that and the cab driver looking confused, this guy gets out again and charges me in the middle of the street and is, like, trying to chase me off.
But have you left the painting on
I'm running with this giant
You're running with the painting.
Yeah.
Only in Williamsburg.
Well, only in Williamsburg, I guess it didn't look that strange. There, actually, I ended up finding photos of people taking images of it, because I'm sure it looked crazy. And then the cops showed up, and he tried running, but he was already pretty winded. And then that's when I called the gallery, and I was like, I got one of the guys.
So you got caught one of the guys, got one of the paintings back. You're still missing two paintings.
Nelson Mandela and Snoop Dogg, a lion.
All right, so I've been waiting my whole life, I think, to say this. Be on the lookout for for paintings of Nelson Mandela and Snoop Lion by Amar Stewart, the British artist. Sean Leonard, you're a hero.
Thank you very much.
Sean Leonard is co-owner of the Cotton Candy Machine, the gallery in Brooklyn, where Amar Stewart, the British-born and now Brooklyn-based artist, has been in residence creating these hip-hop royalty paintings in the style of the Dutch painter Frans Hals. Amar, it's been great having you with us on Soundcheck. Good luck recovering those other two paintings.
Thank you very much.
And Sean, thank you for sharing the story with us as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us on.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. And if a get an attitude, pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. I got the rollie on my arm and I'm pouring Sean Don and I'm all the best. 'Cause I got it going on.
Tomorrow on the show, a special edition of the Soundcheck Smackdown, recorded in front of a live audience at the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts, and it's a battle for the ages, Beatles versus Stones, with two great tag teams representing each band. For Team Stones, it's musician and author Bill Janovitz of the band Buffalo Tom, and Ophira Eisenberg, host of Ask Me Another from WNYC and NPR. As for Team Beatles, it's music journalist Paul Myers and his brother, the actor Mike Myers. You know, Austin Powers, Wayne's World. It's Beatles versus Stones tomorrow night, a special one-hour edition of the Soundcheck Smackdown. That does it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.